Well, before I begin the text of my homily, I just want to say a couple of things real quickly for those who might have come in a bit late. There are no restroom facilities in either this building or the building immediately across from us. Now, why this seems to be important is because when I look straight through the windows, I watch those two restrooms and how busy they get during my homily. Especially if I tend to go a little long. So, if you have children, go out, take a right. It is that great big white sanitary box right near the porte-cochere, and it's got some yellow tape around it, so it tends to look like a crime scene, but it's not. That is, they're very nice portable restrooms. So, please know that they're there. Now, I'm going to say a couple of things in a minute about wisdom. But linking that announcement with the homily is not easy, but it can be done. Wisdom would have been to not have that second cup of coffee this morning. I'm just saying. So we begin. Wisdom is readily perceived by those who love her and found by those who seek her. As we come to the last of the Sundays that we in the Catholic Church call ordinary time, ordered time, that's what it means, numbered time, we are invited to seek wisdom and to love wisdom. The first reading comes from the Book of Wisdom and invites us to reflect this Sunday on wisdom in our daily lives. Now, wisdom is not a college degree, nor does it require us to read stacks and stacks of books or to memorize E equals MC squared, okay? Rather, wisdom is the capacity to live well and to make good decisions about the things of this world and the things of the next world. Such wisdom is only possible with good judgment coming from experience and everyday knowledge. There are many people with advanced academic degrees who have very little wisdom. And there are lots of people with no academic degrees who are true wisdom figures and reflect the wisdom of God. Each of us can think in his or her own heart and mind, right this minute, about people that we might ask for advice if we were facing a really difficult question in our lives. Those people are usually wisdom figures for us. They are people whose practical judgments we would trust, and also whose spiritual advice would or could be helpful. You know, it seems to me that never in the history of human beings have we had more knowledge and less wisdom. More knowledge. Oh, we know all sorts of things, but less wisdom. The first reading reminds us that we need to seek wisdom. And once we find wisdom, we must treasure it as well. Now, in the second reading today, it is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. And I want to remind you that this was written probably 20 years before the first gospel was written. If we date the first gospel, Mark, at about 64 A.D., we can date this letter of Paul to the Thessalonians somewhere about 44 A.D. We are reaching back to within about 10 to 12 years of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul is writing to the church in a place called Thessalonica. In this particular section of the letter, we are reminded that our whole faith is based on the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. If Jesus died and did not rise, then our faith is worth nothing. Jesus himself tells us that he is the resurrection. Jesus is clear that our death is only a passing from this world, from this life, to a new life in a new way. With God the Father, with Jesus himself, and with the Holy Spirit. If we begin to think of our faith as simply good decisions made in the light of the teachings of Jesus, who was an enlightened religious man, let's say a bearer of wisdom. Jesus, I don't mean this ugly, but a wise guy. If Jesus was just a wise guy, then we have no faith at all. Rather, we believe that Jesus is fully God and fully man and leads us to the Father. We want to live completely the teachings of Jesus so that we may have life eternal, what we call the resurrection. The Gospel of Matthew today brings us back to this first theme of wisdom. The parable that Jesus gives to us illustrates the practical nature of wisdom. All 10 of the virgins in the story, and by that we're talking about young women who served as the bridal party, the bridesmaids, the maids of honor for the bride, but also stayed in front of her house, in front of her home, and waited for the bridegroom to arrive. Well, that's what they're doing out there with their little oil lamps. These are the bridesmaids. All 10 of the bridesmaids wanted to meet the bridegroom, but 5 of them did not bring enough oil to keep their lamps burning. This is that wisdom aspect. Any person who knows about oil lamps will know that extra oil must be taken along if the wait is going to be extended. That is a simple, practical piece of knowledge that our grandparents just took for granted. But 5 of the virgins, 5 of the bridesmaids did not have that wisdom. And so when the bridegroom was late on arrival, they ran out of oil. The whole point of this parable is that we must be ready for the Lord. We must be ready for his coming, or for our meeting him at every moment. I really don't suppose that those somewhere around 50 people worshiping in the First Baptist Church last Sunday morning at 11:15 had a clue that their hour was coming. I'm quite sure, as a good bunch of Baptists, each and every one of them would have told you they were ready, but they did not know the hour of their death, And when they would have never expected it in that little church at 11:15 a.m. We must pray both for the dead and for the injured, and as well for that entire community of Sutherland Springs, Texas. And we must learn. We must learn. Wisdom teaches us. We must be ready. No matter the hour, no matter the circumstance, no matter the day. To be ready for the Lord, we must be willing to wait for the Lord. To be ready for the Lord, we must wait. Never in a world has any people ever been worse at waiting. Go to McDonald's and have your sandwich delayed by 3 minutes. Or go to McDonald's and have the person in the car in front of you have their sandwich delayed by 3 minutes. I promise you, you don't know how to wait. This last year, my beloved collie, Misty, she died after 12 wonderful years we had had her. We rescued her just a little over a year old. That girl knew what it meant to wait. She had learned all of my schedules. And except in the last year when 4 arthritic hips kept her from standing up quickly or gracefully, she was always at the door waiting for me upon my arrival. The joy she shared with me on my coming home never ceased. And it never ceased to amaze me either. For her, I was the meaning to her life. Her world revolved around me. I was the one she was always waiting for. Can each and every one of us say that about Jesus? For me, He is the meaning of my life. My life revolves around Him. He is the one I'm always waiting for. To wait for the Lord, we must be willing to do all the things that will allow us to be ready as we wait. Probably all of us who are here, we really want to be with the Lord. There's no question, we wouldn't be here this morning. So the question of the day is, do we live our lives in such a way that we are always ready for Him, no matter the day, no matter the hour? Finally, let me just say one more sentence. Faithful watching is a part of what we call intentional discipleship. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.